I'd like to turn this morning to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, we'll read verses 16 through verse 21, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through verse 21, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In these verses, it appears from verse 16 that Peter is answering the charge of some who were saying that he and the other apostles, in their teaching of the second coming of Christ, were simply passing on fables and myths. They were saying that the teaching about the second coming of Christ was a cleverly designed fable, a calculated teaching meant somehow to benefit the apostles. But Peter, here in our text, states that the coming of the second coming of Christ was not a fable, was not a myth, was not the result of their own opinion, but it had its basis in the certainty of God's Word. And in answering their charge, Peter in verse 19 makes, and again, reference to the second coming of Christ as the day dawn. The day dawn. He writes this second epistle to arouse his readers, to inspire them, to move them, to motivate and encourage his readers in their service to the Lord. He writes here to remind them. Notice in verse 12, he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." In verse 13, "Yea, I think it meet or fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." In verse 15, he says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, "I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So Peter is writing to remind them of certain truths, and his motivation in doing so was that they would be stirred in the service of God. Now, one of the truths that he is reminding them of is the return of Jesus Christ. He refers to it here in our text as the day dawn, and as the day star arises in your heart. So we want to speak this morning on the day is dawning. The truth is that in these days leading up to a new day dawning, we as God's people are to live in light of this day that's coming, this return of Jesus Christ. And to look, first of all, Peter refers to a particular day here in verse 19. He refers to this day as dawning. Again, in verse 16, he made reference to the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that his coming will be powerful. He will come in power, and his coming will have a powerful effect. In verse 19, he refers to this as the day. The day. Notice those two words, the day, verse 19. That's something particular, the day. That is something definite, the day. That is something certain. It's often referred to the day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, we read it is the day of the Lord Jesus. And in Philippians 1 and verse 6, the day, all this referring to the return of Christ, the day of Jesus Christ. So it is a day. That is, it is a certain day. It is a specific time, and it involves Jesus Christ. This will be the day of his coming. There is a day in which Jesus Christ will come again. We read Jesus saying in John 14 and 3, I will come again. When will he come? On that day. On that day. I will come again. In Revelation 3, verse 11, in Revelation 22, verse 7, Jesus says, behold, that is, give attention to what I'm about to say. And then he says, I come quickly. That is, I come suddenly. In Revelation 22 and verse 20, he says, surely, or most certainly, I come quickly. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, the angel declared, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 7, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, waiting for that day when Jesus Christ shall come. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19, our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. In chapter 4 and verse 15, the coming of the Lord. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then that is repeated again in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. In James chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8, we read the coming of the Lord. So, Jesus Christ is coming. It is repeatedly stated. And he's coming on a particular day. He is coming at a particular time. When he comes, this will be the day of his appearing. So what a day it'll be. The day when Jesus Christ comes. The day when Jesus Christ appears. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 and verse 8, his appearing. His appearing. There's coming a day in which Jesus Christ will appear. We read in Titus 2 and verse 13, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So it is an appearing, and it will be a glorious appearing. We read in 1 John 2, verse 28, and 1 John 3 and verse 2, when He shall appear. When He shall appear. And when is He going to appear? On that day. On that day, on a specific day, He will appear. It will also not only be the day of His coming, the day of His appearing, it will be the day of His descending. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ in person, shall descend from heaven. Jesus Christ Himself shall descend, come down from heaven. What a day. What a day that will be. Concerning the saved, the day being spoken of, according to Ephesians 4 and verse 30, is the day of redemption. That is, it will be a day of retrieval. God, Jesus Christ, will retrieve His people. It will be a day of reclamation. Jesus Christ will come and claim His people. What a day. We read in Romans 8 and verse 23 that it in that day will be the redemption of the body, these physical bodies. And in Ephesians 1 and verse 14, the redemption of the purchased possession. So this day that is coming, this day that is going to come, this day that is getting closer and closer, is a day of redemption. It is a day of retrieval. It is a day of reclamation. Concerning the saved, the day being spoken of is a day of resurrection. It is a day of change. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 through 44, we read that these bodies, physical bodies, of corruption or dust, will be raised in incorruption. That is, they will be raised indestructible. These bodies of dishonor will be raised in glory. That is, in magnificent beauty. The bodies that are in the ground, there's nothing beautiful about them right now. Nothing. In fact, you would find them repulsive. They are dishonorable. But this day, those very bodies will be raised in glory. They will be raised a magnificent body. These bodies of weakness will be raised in power. These natural bodies will be raised a spiritual body. So this day that we're speaking of is a day of resurrection. It is a day of great change. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll read verses 51 through verse 54. Behold, I show you a mystery. Once again, if He shows us the mystery, it's no longer a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. Here's how it'll take place. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's sudden, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. There is nothing that can keep them in the grave. Again, He is coming in power, and it will be a powerful coming, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And what a change it will be. For this corruptible This corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So it's going to happen. So when this incorruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then, when this happens, when this day comes, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It's a day of change. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, we read, for our conversation is in heaven. That is, our citizenship for you and I that are saved is in heaven. This is not our place of citizenship. Our place of citizenship, the place we call home, is heaven. From whence, remember, he's going to descend from heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior. Then he identifies who he is, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it, that is, our vile body, may be fashioned or may be made like unto his glorious body. Along those same lines, in 1 John 3 and verse 2, we know that when, so once again, it's going to happen, and there's a specific date, specific day, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So Jesus is coming. There is a day of his coming. And when Jesus Christ comes, we will no longer be subject to the necessities of the flesh. Jesus is coming. And when he does, we shall be raised victorious. Jesus is coming. And when he does, we will be conformed to his image. We will become like him. So, concerning the saved, this day is a day of resurrection. It is a day of change. But also concerning the saved, this day being spoken of is a day of rescue. It is a day of gathering. It is the day when Jesus Christ will rescue his people from this world, from the grave. It is a day when he will gather his people. Hear Jesus say in John 14 and verse 3, I will come again and receive you. What wonderful words. And receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, we read, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's coming a day when that will be reality. There will be life forever. There will be love forever. There will be joy forever. There will be worship forever. Jesus is coming. And when he does, we shall be rescued from this sin-cursed earth. We shall be rescued from a world that does not know God. We shall be rescued from a world that hates God. And we shall be rescued from the sins and the sorrows and the trials and the cares and the burdens of life. And we shall be rescued from the attacks and from the snares of Satan and from the warfare of this life. And we shall forever be with him. Yes, Jesus is coming. And he's coming to claim and to gather his people. What a day it will be. In our text, Peter says that this day will dawn. That is, it will come into existence. It will arrive. This day will arrive. This day is coming. This day will emerge. Jesus Christ, the one in whom we have been pardoned, the one in whom we have been justified, cleansed, and reconciled, the one in whom we have been made near to God and accepted by God, this very same Jesus is coming again. Jesus Christ, the one in whom we have been given hope, this very same Jesus is coming again. Jesus Christ, my God-provided Lamb, the very offering for my sin, my one and only mediator between me and God, my advocate, my righteousness, my reconciler, my Savior, my refuge, my rock, my righteousness, my shepherd, the one who's brought relief and refreshment to our lives, our solace, our one and only hope, our joy, our song, our victory. He's coming. He's coming. And this day of His coming, His appearing, and His descending, it is certain. It is certain. And it is unknown as to when. Matthew 24, verse 42, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But we can look at the signs. They're all around us. And what these signs declare is this day is near. He's coming. The day is dawning. And when He comes, it will be sudden. The day of His coming, the day of His appearing, the day of His descending, it is near. It gets closer every single day. We read in Hebrews 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He'll be right on time. This day is going to arrive. And at a particular hour in that day, Jesus Christ will come. He will appear. He will descend. We read in James 5, verse 8, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. James 5, verse 9, behold, the judge standeth before the door. He's about to open the door and descend to gather His people together. We hear Jesus say in Luke 21 and verse 28, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We need to follow the instruction of those words. We need to be a people that is looking up. Lift up your heads, for the day of redemption, the day of resurrection and change, the day of rescue and gathering, draweth nigh. It is absolute certainty. It cannot be thwarted. People can deny that this day is coming, but it is coming. They can deny, they can mock concerning this day, and they can wish it never did come, but it's coming. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be prevented. That leads us to the fact that we are to live in the light of this coming day. The Bible teaches very plainly that leading up to the day when Jesus comes, there will be perilous times. There will be scoffers walking after their own lust, and mockers who walk after their own ungodly lust, and that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But in the midst of all of that, remember, a glorious day is going to dawn. It cannot be stopped. The Bible teaches very plainly that leading up to the day when Jesus comes, the more manifest, the more intense will be the irreverence and the disdain and the resentment and the hostility, the opposition and the rebellion and revolt of man toward God and toward God's ways. And the more manifest and intense will be man's blatant ignoring and rejection of the Lord. But in the midst of it all, we must not forget that a glorious day can dawn at any time. The Bible teaches very plainly that leading up to the day when Jesus comes, the more manifest, the more intense, the more widespread will be the spirit of Antichrist. But remember what's coming. Remember what's coming. The Bible teaches very clearly that leading up to this day when Jesus comes, the more intense and widespread will be vileness and wickedness and ungodliness and blasphemy and heresy. But remember what's coming. Don't lose sight of what's on the horizon. The Bible teaches very plainly that leading up to the day when Jesus comes, the more manifest and the more widespread the ignorance of man, the ignorance of learning institutions, the ignorance of religious institutions, and the ignorance of government concerning God and His ways. But again, remember what's coming. There's a day that is about to dawn. The Bible teaches very plainly that leading up to the day when Jesus comes, the more intense and the more widespread will be the difficulties and the tribulations and the pressures and the problems and the disruption and the chaos and the threats and the dangers and the challenges. But again, don't forget what's on the horizon. Don't get so caught up with the present that you forget what awaits us, that you forget what's coming. The Bible teaches very plainly that leading up to the day when Jesus comes, the world will become more and more mired in the muck of sin, more and more swallowed up by the philosophies and the ideas and the fantasies of Satan. But don't forget what's coming for the child of God. Amen. Bible teaches that the days leading up to this day when Jesus comes will be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. Those were days of widespread ungodliness, widespread corruption, widespread lust and vanity, widespread worldly pleasure and engrossment with the affairs of life, when people had no room for God. And people have less and less and less room for God all the time, even God's people. And when the majority lived as they pleased, The only thing that mattered was the gratification of their own lusts. And people were self-willed and demonic. And because of their self-will and demonic perverseness, they brought ruin to their society. Brought ruin to social order. Brought ruin to decency. The world is in ruins. God said it would happen. But there's a day coming for God's people when all will be right. The days of Noah and the days of Lot were days when the distinction between the godly and the ungodly had been basically done away with. Were days in which there were very few that were serious about God. And I believe that number is going to get fewer and fewer and fewer until that day comes. Jesus Christ comes again. So we are to live an enthusiastic anticipation of a day that's going to dawn. Jesus said, "Watch, therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Philippians 3, verse 20, we read again, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior." We're to be looking. Why are we to look? Because we know it's coming. And if you're expecting it, you're looking. The reason people are not looking is because they're not expecting it. People have convinced themselves that that day is never going to come. But that day is coming. We're to be looking. Titus 2 verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're to be looking. That is, we're not to be bogged down with the affairs of this world. But we are to be looking heavenward for Jesus Christ. We read in Luke 21 verse 36 of those who wait for the coming of the Lord. You wait for something because you are expecting it. We are to live in expectancy of the return of Jesus Christ. And therefore we are to be waiting, waiting and looking for the return of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for His Son from heaven. We are to be in a state of readiness. Hear Jesus say in Matthew 24 and verse 44 in reference to His return, "Be ye also ready." So this is something that we are to live in anticipation of, the coming of Jesus Christ. We are not to lose sight of the fact that there's coming a day when Jesus returns. But we are to live in an eager anticipation of that coming day. We are to live in the reality that there is a day coming when Jesus Christ shall return. And living in anticipation of that day, it has an impact upon how we live. You look at the way most of God's people live, and you're going to have a hard time convincing me that they honestly believe that Jesus is coming again. Oh, they believe it up here. But it has not made an impact upon their lives. They do not live in anticipation of that day. We talk 20 years from now. Well, 20 years from now, such and such. Certainly we ought to believe that before 20 years is up, that day will come. Paul used the fact of Christ's return as a basis of pleading with the people of God. He said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "I plead with you, and the basis of my pleading is this, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Therefore, we need to get right with God. Jesus is coming again. Therefore, we need to get right with one another. Jesus is coming again. That day is coming. Therefore, our priorities need to be in order. Jesus is coming again. Therefore, we better wake up and realize what is important and get serious in spiritual matters. There is coming a day when Jesus shall return. It is certain. It is near. And our lives are to be lived in relation to that coming day. It is linked. There's coming a day when Jesus shall return, and it is linked to the exhortation there in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 and 13, to love one another. Love one another. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. Coming day when Jesus shall return is linked to the exhortation to assemble together and to encourage one another. Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So much the more as you see the day approaching. The fact that this day is approaching is to have an effect. It is to have an impact upon our lives. There is coming a day when Jesus shall return. And it's linked to the exhortation to be patient. James 5, verse 7 and 8, "Be patient unto the coming of the Lord." Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And the word patient there simply means endure, press on, press forward. Why? Because this isn't it. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ shall return. There's coming a day when Jesus shall return. And it's linked to the exhortation to abide in Christ. 1 John 2, verse 28, "Abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." There's coming a day when Jesus shall return. And it's linked to the exhortation to live a holy life. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, "When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Even as He, Jesus Christ, is pure. When this is a reality in us, it doesn't say they ought to purify themselves, it says they do. It's the natural result. If you honestly believe that Jesus is coming again, you will live a holy life. So we, the saved, are not to be discouraged. We're not to sink in despondency. When we see the wickedness of man, yes, it saddens us. Yes, it concerns us. Yes, it burdens us. But in another sense, it ought to cause us to say, the day is about to dawn. When you see God's people not being serious about serving God. Yes, it concerns us. Yes, it burdens us. But at the same time, it ought to cause us to realize there's a day coming. It's almost here. The day when Jesus shall return. We're to live in these days in which we live, strengthened in His might, pressing forward with spiritual stamina. Again, don't get bogged down in the times in which we live. Don't get bogged down in the politics. There's coming a day Very soon, we're all prone to get bogged down. But we're to continue on with fortitude and resolve. Where do we get this fortitude? Where do we get this resolve? We get it from the Lord. We get it from looking for the coming day. We get it by arising every day thinking, this could be the day. This could be the day that I'm caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And if we honestly believe that, don't tell me it won't have an impact upon our lives. It'll have a powerful impact upon our lives. God's people should not be feeling disheartened. I mean, you look at the idiocy that's going on all around us. And we can allow ourselves to become disheartened. We can become fearful. And in a sense, we ought to be fearful for our children and grandchildren. I understand that. But we're not to get bogged down in fear and worry. But we're to be looking. And every day is going to get worse. And every day we ought to be looking. And every day we ought to be looking more intently to the coming of the Lord. So we as God's people ought to be enthusiastic where there's coming a day. We ought to be excited because we can't help but realize that this day is getting closer and closer. There ought to be an anticipation that ought to be increasing by the moment. The truth is this. If Jesus does not come today, and I'm allowed to live tomorrow, then tomorrow I ought to be anticipating more than I did today the coming of the Lord. But it seems that's not the case most of the time. We do not, most of the time, expect Jesus to come today. Somehow we think it's out there somewhere in the future. And it is. But you don't know how near that future is. And if you're lost, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ, the only way that you can be prepared for the coming of the Lord is to know Him as Savior. That's the only way. This day is a glory. This day when Jesus comes will be a glorious day for all the saved. What a day it'll be. But for those who do not know the Lord, it'll be a horrible day, followed by even more horrible days. Do you know Him? Has there been a time in your life when Jesus Christ came to where you are and you saw yourself as a guilty sinner before God, confessing your sins, trusting completely, 100% in the person and work of Jesus Christ? If that day has not occurred, you're not ready for the coming of the Lord. If that day has not occurred, you better hope that today is not the day that Jesus comes. But I'm here to tell you that today could be the day when He comes. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.